Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My intention to seek the Republican nomination for President of the United States because I believe this country is in a lot of trouble. I was raised to believe that to whom much is given, much will be required. And with everything our country is facing, I just couldn't sit this one out.
That was former Vice President Mike Pence speaking at a Jewish organization in Iowa. Of course, looking ahead to the nomination process coming up starting in January. But you might notice a tone. You might notice a tone in his remarks.
But the Bible tells us that there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And traveling across the country over the past 6 months, I came here to say it's become clear to me this is not my time.
Oh, yeah. So what was he going to do?
So after much prayer and deliberation, I have decided to suspend my campaign for president effective today.
And you can kind of hear in the audience some groans and shocks and, sort of response. It's not all that surprising for two reasons. Number one, because he had no chance of becoming the nominee. I mean, you know, like, I don't begrudge him for getting in. It made sense to, you know, give it a shot and find out what might be possible. That's how people who see themselves as a potential president or in their mind, you know, presidents just haven't been elected yet, which is a lot of times how presidents see themselves, right? They were, you know, supposed to be there their whole lives. You get in to find out. You get in to see if you can do it, you know, make sure. And nothing against him for doing that, but there was never really a great path for him. Because he's got none of the Trump wing of the party. He's maybe the best candidate to represent the sort of, you know, he doesn't even represent the moderate portion of the Republican Party because, you know, that's, first of all, that's not him. He's a, you know, very strong conservative, you know, solid social and economic conservative. So he doesn't represent like the moderates, you know, and that's, by the way, captured by Nikki Haley. Right. You know, and with all her foreign policy experience as well. And so it kind of would be like the anti-Trump, very conservative, which there aren't a lot, you know, of people in that group because the most virulent conservatives, typically the strongest conservatives are more like pro-Trump. But there are some, you know, there are some. I mean, I would count myself in that category. You know, I have lots of questions about Trump. I'm willing to vote for him and did vote for him and, you know, would vote for him again as the nominee. But, you know, just he drives me up a wall, you know, because every time he opens his mouth, every time it just makes me think, what am I thinking about? But, you know, I might sort of be in the Pence camp, but then, you know, I've got DeSantis. Right. And if I don't have DeSantis, then I've got Haley. And if I don't got, you know, like I have better options who I think are more likely, more plausible, who don't carry with them some of the in the Republican Party baggage and out of the Republican Party baggage because, you know, Mike Pence is the guy that, you know, until there was Trump, he was the guy they hated, you know, on the other side. So, not, you know, like, what's the coalition? What's the message? Where's the groundswell of support? And the answer is it just wasn't there and had never been there. But I said there were two reasons that I appreciate this. The second one is I don't mind him getting in. I really appreciate him getting out. Because to me, the problem that this party has with picking a nominee is that we have too many options. And the too many options mean that it's not going to matter how many people in the party don't think that President Trump should be reelected because they're going to split the vote among the, you know, five others. And so you're going to have Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis and Chris Christie and, you know, maybe a few people are going to rally around. I think in the end, Vivek Ramaswamy is not going to draw that many votes, frankly. But, you know, we'll see. You know, time will tell. This Doug Burgum keeps trying real hard. You know, we'll see. But it doesn't seem like there's any alternative to Trump unless basically everybody but one drops out, which I've been saying for over a year now. If you have a multiple candidate field, then Trump wins the nomination. If you have a two-candidate field, he probably still wins the nomination. But it's a chance it might be somebody else. And so, to me, Pence is clearing the way for maybe some other people to drop out as well. And it looked like maybe he wasn't going to make the threshold for the next debate. So, you know, better to leave before you get thrown out. So, but I appreciate the vice president. I do. I appreciate his service to this country. I appreciate the things that he represented. I certainly respect him as a man, as a Christian, as a husband, as a, you know, a man of his principles.
Now, I'm leaving this campaign, but let me promise you, I will never leave the fight for conservative values, and I will never stop fighting to elect principled Republican leaders to every office in the land. So help me God.
Good. Good. I would expect that to be the case. You know, he obviously took time to give his thank yous, of course, to his wife and family.
And of course, I want to thank my family, Michael and Sarah, Charlotte and Henry, Audrey and Dan, and my wonderful wife, Karen, whose inspiring faith, strength, and love saw us through all of our years of service. We did it all together, and I could not have done it without her. Would you join me in expressing your appreciation to the former Second Lady of the United States of America, Karen Pence?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. As soon as I say it, if you've never noticed it before, you'll know. And you may already be well aware, but one of the – everybody's got their vocal foibles. You know, there are things that they do, the ways they say things that kind of get under your nerves or get on your nerves. Mike Pence is a deep sniffer. listen between the lines here, okay? Listen between the lines.
I want to thank my family, Michael and Sarah, Charlotte and Henry, Audrey and Dan.
Did you alter that? Did you bring that up?
Or
that's
it
was.
That is straight audio from the mic. And he always has been. If you watch the way he speaks, if you listen to him, he's always been a deep sniffer. Right between, you know, not in the Biden way, not in a creepy way, but just the way he breathes in, it's through his nose, and it's very noticeable. And once you notice it, you can hardly pay attention to anything else. It's the fly on the forehead or fly on the hair version of his voice. And you know, I hate for that to be the thing that I'm noticing here on the day he's leaving politics. Will he be back ever? I mean, who knows? You know, he's not that old. I mean, he's almost old enough to run for president, right? Anyway, so he. But now, the last couple of clips I play, that's the only thing you're going to be able to hear. I apologize.
And finally, we thank God for his amazing grace. He gave us the courage to step forward so many years ago. My fellow Republicans, as we go home to Indiana, let me assure you that we leave here with optimism and faith. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future.
Amen.
And with faith in him and boundless confidence in all of you, we know the best days for America and our most cherished ally, Israel, are yet to come. Thank you. God bless you.
But I know the truth is that the only thing you can hear is which is unfortunate. You know, I'm serious when I say I admire Mike Pence. I respect him and I appreciate his service. And now that you know, former Vice President Deep Sniffer is out of the race, we can pave the way for everybody else. 519.
A deep sigh of relief.
That's right. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home of the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, Angelina's Champagne Dinner, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric this Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric is one of the least expensive hurricane protection systems available. It is strong and safe and defends against wind, water, and flying debris. The professionals from Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric will be here to take your calls and answer any questions you may have about protecting your home and family during a storm. That's this Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Cat 5 Hurricane Fabric.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Another good thing for where we are, we got about a week and a half before kind of a big deal on base. So the Blues Homecoming Air Show will be next week, the 3rd and 4th. If you don't know about it just yet.
Captain Terry Shashadi, Village, Commanding Officer at NAS Pensacola, talking during the military luncheon for the chamber last week about the upcoming air show that's this weekend. It's Friday and Saturday at the base, in case you we're not aware. He's exactly right. Of course he is. And they just came home for the last time yesterday this season on my early warning system of my front porch. I managed to be outside talking and got them on video, which I don't always successfully get. But, you know, they're coming home with the Diamond, with the Delta, all six, and then also with two additional. They typically fly with just one. But I think it's rather normal to come home with two. So eight planes all together, because they've got sort of new people coming on board with the transition and trying to get them fully up to speed so that after this weekend, when the new team members take over, everybody's ready to go and get ready for training in El Centro this January. And then also, what are they hoping for size-wise for attendance this weekend?
So it's going to be very similar to last year. I'm hoping we get more people than we ended up getting last year, which we broke records last year. We had I think the number that we like to say is about 220,000 people over the two-day period. Lots of people ended up coming, and it was awesome because we hadn't had the base open in quite some time. At that point, base access wasn't there. So that was the one thing that we ended up doing.
Yeah, so follow the signs. Be prepared for a little bit of a wait getting on the base. You know, you're not going to so easily put 110,000 people on the base each day, Friday and Saturday this weekend, without a little bit of hiccup traffic-wise. But it usually runs pretty smoothly. So looking forward to that this weekend. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, some new information on that mass shooter in Maine last week. Apparently, local police had been sent to check on Robert Card before it all happened. The Maine National Guard is said to have asked police there to check on Card because a soldier felt that he may, quote, snap and commit a mass shooting.
Come on.
Of course, Card was found, you know, dead on Friday night in a parking lot.
And that's, by the way, that's what DeSantis was saying yesterday on Meet the Press, was, you know, this is the kind of guy that should have been red flag, not owned guns, and also probably committed, you know, and
right.
Certainly back in the day when we had more available institutionalization would have qualified for that, he thinks.
Yeah, there was a lot of warning signs in this one. Donald Trump and three of his children will soon be testifying in the New York civil fraud trial. Donald Trump Jr. is expected to testify Wednesday. That'll be followed by Eric and Ivanka Trump. Former President Trump scheduled to testify November 6th.
It's somebody's birthday today, by the way, that's in that group.
Really?
It's Ivanka's birthday.
Huh, I did not know
42
that.
Today.
And some sad news over the weekend, Andrew. Matthew Perry died.
I know. Wow.
And the co-creators of Friends are calling this, quote, the one where our hearts are broken. Of course, in a joint statement with executive producer Kevin Bright, co-creators Marta Kaufman and David Crane played off the show's episode titles. Of course, Perry, I guess he was in a hot tub or something.
That's right.
Yeah, I hadn't
found
read
in a
all
hot tub.
This,
he had taken a picture, put it on Instagram a couple of days prior.
Kind of a prophetic.
Didn't give any indication of any problem. And of course, the first thing that everybody asks, because it's Matthew Perry,
right,
is, was there any drugs involved? And the early reports were it doesn't seem to be. But what the coroner has done in the autopsy and cause of death is, like, they're waiting to announce it, you know, pending the result of toxicology, I guess. So, which, unlike in TV, doesn't take, you know, 8 minutes. It does take a little bit of time to get that back typically. But yeah, and I don't know. So I know my age, and Friends was like the show. I mean,
absolutely.
Seinfeld was the show, sure, but, you know, Friends was the show that everybody in, you know, my age cohort watched, and, well, almost everybody, most everybody. And, yeah, this is pretty awful to think about. So,
yeah, it's kind of like you were saying, we're kind of hitting that that time where a lot of our the people we grew up watching, although he was pretty young.
He's young, though. He's 54. Yeah. But if you saw the Friends special, you know, the one that they did on Netflix not that long ago, what you kind of also want to say is, well, of the six, if you had to guess one.
Right.
You know, Matthew Perry's had a lot of problems, and, you know, he did not seem himself, the self that you remember. So, and he always wanted to be known for, like, things besides Friends, to which I think, brother, take your one. You know, take your huge, giant, enormous, culture-shaping, joy-bringing one and be proud of that.
You know, it's amazing how many actors, you know, feel that way. They have enormous success with a show, and then they hate being remembered for that one thing.
Right, right. Which, I mean, in some sense is understandable, but in another sense is, well, aren't those the problems you want?
Right.
Yeah. Fools Rush In was a great movie, though, with Salma Hayek.
He had some others.
Great movie.
You know, he had some other stuff that was good.
Yeah.
Obviously, nothing
but
to that degree.
Nothing's gonna,
Nothing to that degree.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think probably of them all, like, Jennifer Aniston is the only one that's really done a lot of other stuff. And frankly, you know, most of the stuff that any of the rest of them have done outside of Friends, I mean, nothing can hold. It's not really fair to say, well, it's not as good as Friends. Well, okay, nothing is going to be as good as Friends, of course. But, you know, nothing is as good as Friends. You know, it's not even close. Courtney Cox had that Cougar Town a couple years ago that was pretty funny. Joey was in this series that, you know, a couple of years ago called Joey.
Matt LeBlanc.
Matt LeBlanc, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, that was okay. And they're all kind of like that. You know, they've kind of done some other things, and I guess, you're in this because you're a musician. Mm-hmm. Musicians who have, you know, bands that have, like, the big one hit.
Right.
Which they can retire on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to a show. If they don't play that hit, you're in trouble.
Oh yeah, you've got to either open with it or close with it.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
You got to get it out of the way. Otherwise, mm-hmm. all people are thinking about the whole time is when is Katrina going to play that song? That's all they're thinking about. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Were you a Friends? That you're a big show for
oh,
you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who are you on Friends?
I'm definitely. I was Chandler. He
yeah,
was
me
my
too.
Favorite part of the show. Yeah.
Although people will sometimes say, "Well, weren't you a philosophy professor? That would make you more like Ross." I'm like, "Yeah, but I mean, I think my style of awkward is more Chandler."
right.
Ms. Chandler Benong. I married a Courtney Cox. I mean, I definitely married a Monica. So you know, that's those patterns of personalities sometimes match what works in real life as well. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, that is I-10 eastbound clear or just better? Looks like it's clear on my map.
Looks
is that
like
what
it's
you're seeing?
Clear, yes.
Okay,
the camera looks clear.
Yeah, there were some big problems earlier in this morning right around the Beulah Road area before you get to I-5 exit, but looks like that's all cleared up now, so good news for you if you're traveling in from Alabama. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Phase 2 in the war against Hamas. That from Israeli leader Benjamin Netanyahu.
Israelis have been using artillery along the border and also hundreds of airstrikes to destroy many of these positions. The Israelis say that they hit over 600 different targets, including weapons depots, dozens of anti-tank missile launching positions.
Fox's Trey Inks reporting from southern Israel. Anti-Semitic threats at Cornell University.
One particularly disturbing threat reads, quote, "If you see a Jewish person on campus, follow them home and slit their throats. Rats need to be eliminated from Cornell."
Fox's Brooke Singman. More than 1,000 people coming together for a vigil last night to remember those killed and wounded in Maine's worst mass shooting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 65 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Several arrests were made in Atmore over the weekend related to a case involving leaked documents from an Alabama grand jury. Two of those arrested were from a local Atmore newspaper. Publisher Sherry Digmon and reporter Don Fletcher were both arrested on Friday. The two charged with revealing information from a grand jury, allegedly relating to an article published on the newspaper's Facebook page. The newspaper says the article was about misappropriation of COVID money paid to school district employees. Digmon also serves on that local school board. The county school system payroll and insurance bookkeeper was also arrested, but there's no word on those charges or whether it is related to the incident. Escambia County deputies investigating after a man was found shot to death in Century. That victim was found Sunday morning on a sidewalk at Century Boulevard and Ramar Street. Investigators say the man had multiple gunshot wounds. Right now, no word if the victim was shot at that location or somewhere else, and there are no suspects so far. Big turnout on Saturday for the annual Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk in downtown Pensacola. Channel 3 reporting that more than 10,000 people were a part of that event. The American Cancer Society hosts these walks in more than 150 communities each year. The walks raise money to support breast cancer patients, survivors, and caregivers, and more than $200,000 was raised so far throughout the community. Well, two people were killed and 18 injured in a shooting at a late-night Halloween event in the Tampa area over the weekend. Officers say two groups began fighting in a crowded area with lots of nightclubs. There were hundreds of people on the streets. And officers have now arrested one suspected shooter. They're looking for one more. Tampa's police chief had this message for their community.
That they want justice and they're appreciative of the community coming forward and providing the tips that helped us place those charges.
And that is Police Chief Lieber Kaw in Tampa. He says officers did recover two guns at the scene of the shooting. Two victims were killed, including a 20-year-old man and a 14-year-old boy. 18 other people were hurt. Right now, there's no word if they were injured in the shooting or in the rush to escape that area. Governor Ron DeSantis trying to reassure Jews that are worried about anti-Semitism. DeSantis was in Broward County yesterday to speak at the Tech Florida Annual Legislative Breakfast in Davie. And he says the last few weeks have been a difficult time for a lot of people in Florida. And he says barbarity has reached a new low. The governor says that he immediately activated the Florida Highway Patrol Quick Response Force to provide security for Jewish institutions. He also says you can count on the state of Florida to be a friend when it comes to security needs for things like Jewish day schools. And it is 534 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 65 degrees in Pensacola, 66 in Gulf Breeze, 61 right now in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
War breaks out between Israel and Hamas.
Starting with our top three stories today, the latest in Israel is Hamas released two hostages.
A Milton couple who was in Israel when the Hamas attacks began has arrived back home safely.
When we were leaving,
Governor DeSantis says it's important to stand with Israel.
Most of the deaths of our own servicemen.
We're pursuing every avenue to bring their loved ones home.
I got to give the president credit for
keeping you informed with a local emphasis.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me this Wednesday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions this Wednesday at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM. 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody jump! Jump, 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 jump!
I said a hip hop. The hip it, hip hip. Hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Wrap it up.
All right, so on Friday, we did the wrap, and sometimes what we like to do in the morning at 5:30 is give you a chance to hear the best thing that happened in the prior show. And in this case, we had a really good conversation with a couple of good friends, Collier Merrill, the owner of Merrill Land Company, and Great Southern Restaurants, and Scott Salas, a principal at Dalrymple Salas, the architectural firm. And we were talking about parking. So I just wanted to give you a chance to hear some of this because it was a really, really good conversation. Scott and Collier, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News for the wrap. Let's talk about parking. I actually had the idea that, you know, we won't necessarily talk about that the whole time. We'll see how it goes. But when I was talking with Mayor Reeves in the other morning, talking a lot about downtown parking, Scott, you were texting with me, and you are an advocate of the new system. You're an advocate. I don't know for all the particulars, but you're an advocate of the style of parking management that the Civicon presents, that the mayor embraces, that is, you know, not what I want. And that's fine. That's why I wanted to have you in. For people who haven't heard, this is just so we have the facts. The proposal on the table from the consultant that DC hired from Premier, the Red Lot people, hired him away from them, and he produced this study. And the recommendations of the study are to expand the footprint of paid parking dramatically to all of your downtown areas, basically, all the way down to Plaza de Luna, and then west to Spring, and then east a couple of streets as well. So none of the free parking would be free anymore. It would all be under the app, a new app that he wants to do. The amount would be $1 an hour instead of what's right now 50 cents an hour, but that could fluctuate in demand periods up when demand is high and down when demand is low. So you would pay based on an hourly rate that could fluctuate around $1 as the ideal. The hours for parking would go up from 7 o'clock to midnight. So instead of being just during the day ending at 7, it used to be 5 years ago, remember? It would go to midnight. And I think that the kiosks would still exist, so people can still pay at the kiosk if they prefer to do that. Oh, and I said free would go away, but especially the free 2 hours on Palafox would go away. That's one of the key things that for a long time people have said is unfeasible, unworkable, and ought to go away. So Scott, I'll give you first crack at this.
Sure.
I understand but hate the whole thing. Like, I understand the theory, but I want my parking free downtown. I want my city to stay a little welcoming village that we've kind of always been. I don't want it to be all these cities I go to where I have to pay to park, and I just hate the whole experience.
Well, I love that you're always consistent with your message and unwavering in that. And I think I agree with about 99% of everything that comes out of your mouth except this subject. So it's
fair
a
enough.
Pleasure to kind of be here.
We got you for the one.
Yeah. So I really kind of keep it this simple. I'm not aware of any reasonably sized, great city and certainly in America. I think there's some in more socialist countries overseas, but that has free parking downtown. So, you know, when I start there, I was like, okay, so if that's the case, then what do great cities do with regard to free parking? And thankfully, Pensacola has reached out to the best experts that we can ever find to coach us on how to do it. So I really don't ever want, I mean, I can, I don't think that even this place, this time is a place to get into the semantics of parking, but I get saddened when I hear repeatedly from you and others that there are many people out here in this great community of ours that choose to not go downtown because of frustration or fear of parking, and I can't get my head around that. And I'll just say right here on the air, if anyone out there, if that's your story, come find me at my office downtown on Government Street. I will stop what I'm doing unless I'm in a meeting, and I will help you understand that parking downtown is quite easy. It's wonderfully simple, and it shouldn't be problematic for anyone. And I'll kind of close with this. DC's doing the best he can at combating one of the biggest problems we face with regard to parking downtown, and that is we have two options. One is his responsibility and others through the city,
right?
The blue parking lots. And then everything else, these red parking lots, those are private business owners that have said, hey, I'll let this company come in and run a business on my land and be able to, for that business to succeed and the property owner to take some income. And that's certainly a very beautiful American process. I don't have any problem with that. But that company has it's more expensive to use that company, and they have much more stringent penalties. So
because they can't write tickets. Boot because they can't write tickets.
Correct. So I always, if I'm parking downtown, I'm going to always look for a city parking option unless I'm in a really big hurry and money's not an option. I can park in the red just to buy in it and go. But to understand that's important, I think.
I love how you threw the socialist countries dig in on me. I love that. I'll take it. It's acceptable. Collier?
Yes, Alvin, if you park.
You got to get right up on the mic.
So can you hear me?
That's perfect.
So if you do have to, Scott, if you do have to park in one of the red lots, park in mine, please.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I am one of the red lots. Exactly. But I've talked to the mayor many times, and as soon as he gets this new app, Mobile One, which is the best in the country, number one in the country, if not the world, I'm switching, you know, to make it just more seamless and get people down there. I agree everything Scott's saying, you know, that I found out in the parking business, people are cheap first and lazy second, and you fall in both of those.
Thank you,
Andrew.
I listened to you eagerly embrace it, yes.
You basically say you're cheap and you're cheap. So that's what you're looking for. You know, we want people downtown that are coming down there, they want to be able to find a parking space. They can't find them now, and it's free. So think about that. You know, you start charging the people that want to come down and spend money, which the retailers and restaurants and everybody down there, that's what they want. You know, on the weekends, it's gotten really bad, just people parking everywhere and hanging out in the parks and not, you know, they're not helping the any of the retailers or any of the people that spend a lot of time on the businesses getting it where it is. You know, I've been downtown for, you know, I had a I got out of school. I had an office by the mall like everybody else. And we moved downtown about 25 years ago. And if you'd seen a tourist down there 25 years ago, you'd have taken a picture of them. They just weren't around.
Yeah.
And now they're everywhere. Sure. And, you know, I'm jumping around a little bit, but it's just the way it is. You've been talking about airport parking. You pay for airport parking. Should that be free? No, because you're using it. Just like people using downtown should pay when they come downtown. And, you know, I've just seen what it can do to keep, you know, people just filling up lots that have no intention whatsoever of going out and spending money. And that's just kind of where we go. It's where we're coming. We started it just to keep people out of our lots. And the revenue source started coming in. I'm also chairman of the U of F Historic Trust. Mm-hmm. It's red. That will also change. If we can get on this app to make it all more consistent.
So I didn't even know that. So private business owners in the future.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Use this new city app as well.
Absolutely.
Wow.
DC hasn't really emphasized that, but I think that's the strategy is create a system which can lure the current red lot owners over onto the city system and basically push the red lots out because they're so user unfriendly. That's really I think the sort of the long term strategy.
Absolutely, UWF Historic Trust, and I heard you bashing them the other day, Andrew.
They stole my favorite parking spaces.
Did I mention Andrew's cheap? I mention Andrew's cheap?
Hey, again, 100%. I thought as a businessman, you'd appreciate that. Thrifty, no?
There's difference between thrifty and cheap, Andrew.
Fair enough.
And I'm looking at it.
I got
it. So the Historic Trust, you know, we have a lot of people come in town. Our visitation is up since we started charging for this parking. We've gotten $130,000 this year for paid parking. We can't give that. You know, that's employees and everything else. But the most important thing is our visitors coming, like, yes, you can park here because it's not free and there's going to be spots available and they're glad to pay. They just want to have a parking space to go to and pay. And that's my argument. A lot of people, I can't believe you're charging for parking. I said, did you have a space? It's not there if it's free. You know, at Jackson's, we validate people's parking in that lot that's catty corner to us. And it works because it's not full of people parking there free. And so they want to pay, and it's never full. And we validate the parking. We do it at Angelina's. We validate. We have parking for people. We validate it. We pay for it. But they want to know they have a parking space. And without it, I give a quick example. There's a big condo complex. When you come over the bridge in Destin, those two monster towers, you know, it was free parking. They have all these boardwalks and retailers and all. And the parking, hundreds of spaces. And it was full of people all the time. But it's just a bunch of yahoos running around, running on the boardwalk, not doing anything. Started charging $10. Retailers hit the roof about it. I can't believe you can charge parking until about a month went by. And then they go, our business is up so much because now the customers that want to come spend money that would not come before.
That's actually part of the argument that I understand and bothers me both. Because you're right. You know, as far as target demographic, you're not trying to get Andrew McKay to come downtown because I don't spend a lot of money. But I do
That's correct.
But
you do.
I love seeing you.
But there are people who just would like to enjoy downtown.
Right. So parking downtown has to accommodate both the financially able people who are going to support the businesses, who are going to spend money at Angelina's and at Jackson's and at Fish House, and that's great, of course, and are going to shop on Palafox and all that. But there are also parks, and there's entertainment, and there's events, and there's amenities like, you know, for example, Plaza de Luna. We've got this, you know, when it's working, we've got this great splash pad at Plaza de Luna. Well, that's now going to be paid parking. What used to be, you know, a fairly simple thing for, you know, mom to take her kids on a weekday to go down and park for free, she's now going to have to pay to park. And she has to ask herself the question, well, I'm not paying to get into the splash pad, but I am paying to get into the splash pad. And so people who still want to come downtown for whatever purpose other than spending a bunch of money, you're really deprioritizing them, discouraging them, pushing them aside and saying they're not our target demographic. They're not really as welcome here or maybe not welcome at all compared to the people who are willing to pay, who don't mind paying and are obviously going to come spend money. And I totally get that as a business argument. But that's not the only purpose for parking downtown.
And I haven't seen that whole footprint of how far they go. I agree with you 100% on that point. And there's so much free parking downtown. And I'm glad.
And there still is. Yes,
I'm glad
there still will be.
You corrected yourself a minute ago saying they're getting rid of all free parking. They're not.
In the footprint. That's right.
It goes back to cheap first and lazy second. you will move further out. When Wahoo Stadium first was opening up and I was chairman of the CMPA board, I was like, man, they're going to be filling up parking. It's going to be a problem. It's not. There's so much parking on those streets, and you can still do that. You know, we're looking at the infrastructure. I can remember about 10 years ago, I was paying my employees to put up Christmas lights. I mean, we just didn't have any infrastructure and money, and the Pelican drops. All that's got to be paid by somebody. Mm-hmm. You beat the hell out of somebody the other day, one of our commissioners, because you said he wasn't forward thinking. He hadn't planned financially to do the improvements that needed. I think D.C. is doing a great job of looking. This is a revenue source. What are we going to do? And he's just not some, like you've said, he's a businessman. And knows we got to start looking down the road. And
you know, that's fair. I was very critical of Stephen Barry over that unwillingness. No, it's just, I mean, I know what you're hearkening to, and that's a fair concern. And again, I think if we had started from scratch, like if we didn't already have it, and there's definitely an entitlement thinking here that I am guilty of, but it's also kind of this entitlement thinking about something that I kind of love about this place, that it's not that big city. It's, again, when I go vacation, my wife and I go travel all the time, and we go to cities, and every time it's the parking just is so infuriating, either the having to do it or the getting of the app or just the cost of it, and it's just so, it's so alienating. Like, we just don't feel like they want us there, and I've experienced that in Destin, you know, going down to Noriega Point. Good Lord, they just went from, it was, I don't know, it was a couple of bucks or something to park down in that area previously, and it's now 10 or 15 for 3 hours. And I'm like, good Lord. And it just, I mean, from one trip we went to, like a month later we went, and they jacked it up like that. And that's that kind of experience. What we both said is, well, I guess this is our last time coming. Like, it's just so off-putting to have that experience.
Sure, I don't see anything that costly ever come into our city for many, many years. And I heard you make that argument the other day about not everyone coming to downtown is intending to spend money. And I just think that as true as that is, those people, those Andrew McKays of the world.
I'll take it. They're my people. That's fine.
You know, if you want to enjoy a park, people who want to enjoy parks are pretty active people. And I think very capable of walking to the destination they want. They can park a little outside of the place and walk to the thing. And the people who really want to buy that jewelry or whatever is, let them have a more convenient parking space they pay for. And I'm curious, you know, if you were downtown, would Andrew McKay pay $1.50 to park to go get nickel beer? Or would you pay, would you have free parking to buy the $11
I don't pay to park ever, and I don't pay $11 for a beer either. So
yeah, there you go.
I am definitely not. If your goal is to get the money spender guy, you know, to come downtown, not me. Yeah. I know that's. I am not the driver of the economy. We, you know, three kids and stay home and manage our money and save for the future. I get it.
But I do like where you know, it's also the amenities. We want you downtown. Don't get me
sure,
wrong.
Sure, absolutely.
Because it doesn't feel like you do very much.
What you talked about, you know, variable parking, which I actually talked to Philip this morning. I wanted to make sure I couldn't find that it is going to be variable, which it should be, like hotels and everybody else does.
Which I think is part of why the new app, they want to switch to the different app because that will allow them to create the variable park in part. That's why that.
And it won't start off right away, but the difficulty, I tried to explain to my mom to get on that app, and it was tough.
Sure?
She goes, I'm just calling Jackson and validating. I said, you're not going to Jackson's though, Mom. She's like, I'm doing it anyway. Or she parks in my lot.
All right, we're going to just kind of cut it off there. You can hear the rest of it. There's about another 5 minutes or so on the podcast page if you want to listen to the rest of it. I love that, you know, Scott kind of hints at me being a socialist in college. He's cheap and lazy. Well, I would say cheap. I'm willing to walk. I do now, and I will continue to walk. So it was a really good conversation. I just wanted to give you a chance to hear that, especially if you heard the fairly good debate that D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, and I had last week on this same subject as well. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting and worth replaying at the very least. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing? These are words you hear a lot about. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 10:30. Join me, Tasca King. I'll show you how to navigate the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Quiggins. If you've got fall gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Presented by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, Barnes Feed Store, and Lucky's Pine Straw.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
First I played with Dad, then Mommy came, and I played with Mommy. We played, Daddy. We had an awful good time. Now I want to play with you.
In case you didn't realize, it's the day before Halloween. So the music is still the traditional bumpers, but the sound clips are all going to be, hey, it's Halloween. So we've already had, Pet Sematary there, and what was the first? Oh, it was from Nightmare on Elm Street earlier. 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, big news over the weekend. Former Vice President Mike Pence dropping out of the race for the White House. Now, so far he hasn't endorsed anybody, but his former boss seems to think he should.
He should endorse me. You know why? Because I had a great, successful presidency, and he was the vice president. He should endorse me.
There's been some things since then.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems unlikely at this point, but you know.
There's other things have happened since then, sir.
That was at a campaign event Trump held in Las Vegas on Saturday night. Actually, it was just a couple hours after Pence made his announcement. The UAW workers in Stellantis apparently have now reached a tentative contract deal, leaving just General Motors as the target of the weeks-long strike. The UAW says their deal with Stellantis is similar to the deal they made with Ford late last week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, one of the probably future news questions is going to be, you know, will Mike Pence endorse somebody? Who will he endorse? He will endorse whoever he thinks is not Trump who can beat Trump. And I think in his mind, the only reason he hasn't endorsed anybody yet is because he doesn't know whether that's Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis. I mean, those are your two alternatives. Unless something dramatic changes, we're probably not going to elect a guy from the Dakotas that nobody's heard of until, you know, 3 months ago. It's not going to be Chris Christie. You know, it's not going to be Asa Hutchinson. In fact, has Asa dropped out yet? I forget now. And Tim Scott, did Tim Scott drop out? Like, I can't. A couple of them I haven't, you know, followed up on. But, you know, it's going to be Nick. Those are, and it's not going to be Vivek Ramaswamy. I just don't think that Mike Pence is going to endorse him. So it's really going to be at some point when he feels like, you know, whoever is going to be the alternative to Trump, that's who he's going to endorse. That's what I would expect. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, Elon Musk. So remember Elon Musk invented PayPal, something everybody tends to forget. Before there was, you know, SpaceX, before there was Tesla, there was PayPal. And he had envisioned that as being a comprehensive financial services entity. And when he sold it to eBay, he was surprised they didn't act on all the stuff that he had intended for it to be. And he now wants to turn X, Twitter, into that. Like, he doesn't think you should have a bank account.
Just listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.